part of the Borg. My pocket. All right. Hold on, sorry. Okay. So, my name's Jonathan. I'm one of the four co-founders of a group called Montreal Ouvert, or Montréal Ouvert. My presentation's sort of half in English, half in French, or the slides are half in English, half in French. I'm not sure what the makeup of the crowd is today. So I'll give you a quick overview of Montreal Ouvert, what we're doing, what open data is, and possibly how Drupal developers and the community can play a role in pushing this issue in Montreal and across Canada. So if you want to follow us, for those of you who, how many, just out of curiosity, how many people here have heard about Montreal Ouvert, or at least a little bit familiar with who we are? Okay, so about half. Okay, cool. So you can follow us on Twitter at MTL Ouvert, Facebook, and our website is montrealouvert.net. So like I said, half the slides are in French, half are in English, just to keep in the spirit of Montreal. So les données ouvertes, qu'est-ce que c'est? Or open data, what is it? Maybe by a show of hands, how many of you know what open data is or are relatively familiar with it? Okay, so about half. Yeah, what's open data, or what makes data open is possibly a better question. I'll probably give a quick presentation, then we can do questions or Q&A afterwards. So the first part of openness is not having your data in proprietary formats. So whether it's Adobe PDFs or Microsoft Word or other proprietary formats, it's offering your data in open formats, XML, CSVs, ideally APIs eventually. So that's step number one. And right now, the vast majority of data that's on the City of Montreal's website is in PDF format. The second part of open data, which is equally important, if not more so, is to offer your data with a license that allows reuse. Allows reuse for both commercial and non-commercial purposes. And there's a whole bunch of different licenses out there that are, you know, varies from state to state or city to city. But basically, this is the PDDL license, which is the most open, freest license out there. There is the only government that's almost using this is the UK government. Every other government in the world right now has a bit more of a restrictive license. It varies from place to place. So the first part of the PDDL license is it gives you the right to share, to copy, distribute, and use the database. Second part is to create, so to produce works from the database that can be non-commercial or commercial. To adapt, so to modify, transform, and build upon the database, whether that's changing, modifying the actual data set itself, mashing it up with a new data set, adding your own proprietary data set to generate value out of the original data set, which is coming from a government website or a government office. And as long as you blank, meaning that there's no restrictions, a PDDL license ideally has no restrictions in terms of what you do with the license, what you do with the data after you've taken it. So like I said, the only government that's using this is the UK. Everybody else has, to varying degrees, a slightly more restrictive license. Another key part of open data is to have a centralized portal page where you can access all the data for a given government, whether it's federal, provincial, municipal, or international. So in the States, it's data.gov. In Canada, it's data.gc.ca. And in Montreal, there's currently no portal page. There's no policy. There's no license, which is what Montreal Ouvert is working on. And I'll explain Montréal Ouvert in a bit more detail. And to make sure that the portal page is permanent so that they're not constantly moving the data sets around from one page to another, or that they're not spread out over different departments, and as they change department names, you can't find the data anymore. So they have a centralized, permanent location where you list your data sets in open formats with a license that allows for reuse. That's basically what open data is. And what's happening in Montreal? So in Canada. Canada has really been driven at the municipal level. We've had, since 2008, there's now about 10 cities in Canada that have a formal open data policy and have an official open data portal for their city. So it started in Nanaimo, BC, a relatively small city in British Columbia in 2008, really championed by one of the city councillors there. And then it followed in Vancouver and Toronto in 2009, followed by a whole bunch of other cities in 2010, such as Edmonton, Mississauga, Ottawa, London, Calgary, Windsor. We've got Hamilton and a few more since then. Montreal doesn't yet have one, though I'll bring you up to speed on what's happening in Montreal. So basically, Montreal Ouvert, trying to remember the order of my slides. Montreal Ouvert was created in August 2010, and it's really a citizens' initiative. And what that means is it's there's no legal status to the group. It's really just four citizens that got together. We saw what was happening in the rest of the country at other cities, the innovation that was happening because of the data that was being released. And we decided, okay, let's try and get this to happen in Montreal. So we put together this group, and the four people involved are myself. My name is Jonathan Brun. I'm a web entrepreneur. I have a couple startups. There's Michael Lesner, who started Il Sans Fil, the wireless internet in Montreal, and now has his own startup called Adja. There's Sébastien Pierre, who's a data visualization expert, and he has a company called F Function, if you've heard about that. And then there's a fourth guy named Jean-Noé Landry, who is a democratic consultant. So he's not at all in the tech world. He's really much more about public consultation, building democratic institutions around the world. He's worked in many developing countries. So he brought that part to the group. So we formed this group in 2010, August, a little over a year ago, with a specific goal. Our one goal is to have a formal open data policy for the city of Montreal. Like I said, it was inspired by what was happening in other cities and the lack of activity here in Montreal. And we saw that, you know, like any large city, Montreal has a ton of really interesting data that we feel could be used more effectively to bring ties between the elected officials and the public office and citizens closer together and basically improve people's quality of life. You know, at the end of the day, we live in Montreal because we love the quality of life here, or at least that's why I live here, whether it's the bike lanes or the food or the culture. And that's what determines the health, or it's one of the primary factors that determines the health of a community, and Montreal's a community. And so we feel that data and the proper use of open data can really improve everybody's quality of life. And I'll show you some concrete examples of that a bit later. So this is Montreal Ouvert's website. You can go take a look. You can subscribe to our newsletter. We're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're not very hard to find. And we have lots of information, background material on open data, as well as links to the other cities and other governments around the world. Montreal Ouvert took, from the start, a collaborative approach with the city. Like I said, we're a citizens' initiative. We specifically want an open data policy for the city of Montreal, but we didn't come at it from a confrontational point of view. We didn't come at it saying, you know, give us open data or we're going to go on a hunger strike, you know. We came at it trying to show the city the value of the data, show them that there was a tech community in Montreal that wanted access to this data, and that the data, with the help of the tech community and designers and other people, could really improve the quality of life. So we've been working with the city since the beginning. And we are making a lot of progress. We first started with public meetings. So we launched in August 8th, 2010, and on August 23rd, 2010, we had our first public meeting where about 75 people came. And these were people from whole different, you know, fields. So you had public workers, you had developers, you had designers, and you just had regular citizens that were interested in the subject. So right from the beginning, we tried to create an open dialogue with the community to see what could we do with open data in the city. And very quickly, it was picked up in the press. We've been covered in basically all the press in Montreal and in Quebec, so it's definitely a hot topic these days. And we've built a whole bunch of websites over the last year. Combined together, we have about 125,000 visitors since August 2010, about 780 Twitter followers, 500 or so people on our Facebook page. So it's caught on relatively well for a city that's the size of about 2 million people, give or take a few suburbs. So open data. You may have heard this angle before from another talk that I'm stealing from, but basically we view data as the electricity of the 21st century. And now this is obviously true not just of government data, but of private data. There's a million startups around data these days. And electricity, when it first was, you know, discovered slash, you know, created, the first people to take advantage of electric generators were actually beer manufacturers in Northern Europe. And they used electric generators to improve the efficiency of their processes and produce more beer and therefore make more money. And they started really making a lot more money. And eventually the government realized, hey, you know what? Maybe this electricity thing could be used in other fields of the economy. And maybe the government should take a role in distributing electricity to businesses and individuals to improve the quality of life of the society. And that's obviously what happened. And then eventually everybody around the world started putting in electric grids, which today, you know, we say, how could we imagine a modern society without electricity? and us at Montreal Louvert, and I'm sure a good number of you also, we can, if we look out 20, 30 years, and we look back and we say, how can we imagine a modern government of the 21st century without an open data portal, open access to the information, and easy ways to communicate with all levels of government? So we really think data is the electricity of the 21st century. Not only do we organize public meetings, but we also organize hackathons. So we organized two last year. One was at the Notman House, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. It's a venue on Sherbrooke and Saint Laurent, where for startups and for the developer community. So we organized a couple hackathons there, where we really try and bring a concrete approach to open data, because I think for a lot of people, especially the non-tech sphere, open data is a bit of a nebulous idea. It's like data, you know, what is it? Who cares about like parking signs and snow clearance routes and things like that? So to demonstrate the value to elected officials who are ultimately the decision makers, we want it to be concrete. So what we try and do is we start with questions. We see what's out there, what's happening in other jurisdictions. Obviously, we're already behind the times a bit, so things are happening elsewhere. Also, what's happening on the government itself, its website. Sometimes they try and do Web 2.0 stuff, emphasis on try. And then how can we as developers, as citizens, make it better? Then how can we get our solutions noticed? Because if nobody uses our solutions, well, they're not really solutions. And then how can we recruit more people to the movement and more people to individual projects to ensure that they get sustained over the long term? And then obviously iterate, repeat this, keep doing it, find other problems, find other solutions. So here are a few questions that we asked in the last year. And when I say we, it's really not just Montreal Louvert, but the developer community that's been built around Montreal Louvert. And these are all volunteer efforts, with the exception of one that I'll go into. But basically, these are all volunteer efforts, people who are doing this in their spare time. Our hackathons are on weekends. You guys are here on a Sunday, so you know the deal. So five questions we asked in last year. We had, quel restaurant sont propres, which restaurants are clean, quelles patinoires sont ouvertes, which hockey rinks are open, these are outdoor hockey rinks, où sont les chantiers de construction, where are there, is there construction, you know, everywhere is not a sufficiently precise answer. how do we balance the budget, comment équilibrer le budget, and what the hell are my elected officials doing with my tax dollars? So I'll run through, these are all examples in Montreal that have been built by developers in Montreal, some who actually used to be in the Drupal community. The first one is, which restaurants are clean? So for those of you who don't know, the city of Montreal actually does list when there's a fine levied against a restaurant, a dépanneur, or a grocery store. It's on their website, and it's called Inspection des Aliments, and you can go, and down here there's a nice little HTML table with the date of the fine, the amount, the description, and you can look at it 1 month at a time. The interface maybe leaves something to be desired, which is what we said, okay, so we found this is what the city's doing, how can we make it better? So what we basically did is we scraped all the data out of the site, pulled it into our database, which we offer an API on, so it's open to anybody to reuse that data that we've already cleaned up. And then it's called resto-net.ca if you want to check it out. And we list the latest infractions, who has the most infractions, the biggest infractions, and it's a Google Map mashup, so you can click on, you know, the different sections of the city. The one with 114 infractions right there is Chinatown, if anybody's wondering, and if anybody's thinking about dinner tonight. But that's basically what RestoNet does. Super popular when it launched, crashed the servers right away. We've had I have the statistics later, but you know, tens of thousands of people have been are using it. Really popular. Like I said, this is completely volunteer. So that's one concrete example. Which hockey rinks are open, or more precisely, what's the state of the hockey rinks? So there's, in Montreal, for those of you that played hockey, there's outdoor hockey rinks all over the city. There's ones for hockey, there's ones just for skating, and then there's ones that they call paysager, which are sort of like ponds. You have in Beaver Pond, Parc La Fontaine. And what the city does is every day they publish a PDF for each arrondissement that list the hockey rinks, whether they're open, closed, have they been cleaned, what state are they in. But it's a PDF. It's hard to read. They don't even list the address of the hockey rink in the PDF. They just say the park name. So if you don't know the name of the park or you don't know where a park is, you don't necessarily know where the hockey rink is. So we actually took two databases from the city and put them together so that we could list the hockey rinks on this site and classify them by, on the left here, you have paysager, skating, hockey. The icons are different shapes for people who are colorblind. Another big part of open data is making websites accessible to the entire population, which I'll go into more detail. And you can filter by whether they've been resurfaced, watered, and then you can add them to your favorites. And we'll be adding some social features this year in terms of sharing where you're playing hockey with your friends on Facebook and Twitter. The other thing to notice is on the top right-hand side there, we have a button that says Remercie la ville. And basically with that, you click on it, and you can send a thank you note to the city thanking them for maintaining these hockey rinks. Because a lot of the time, elected officials and public servants only hear from the population when we are bitching and whining, when we're saying, you know, why isn't this fixed? Why is this not happening? And we want to show the government that we do appreciate, a lot of people appreciate the services that are offered by the city. So it's not just data, it's really creating a human link between the average citizen and the elected officials and the public servants. So you can go check this out if you're planning to play hockey this year. It's a great little site. This is just some of the code that was used, that was written to scrape the PDFs every day. It's obviously very brittle. If they were to change the format of the PDFs, it would break the whole site. James McKinney, who used to work at Evolving Web, is the lead on this project. He built it and wrote this crazy scraper. And this is the actual PDF that's listed on the City of Montreal's website every day for each arrondissement. A couple other apps. So this one is Où sont les chantiers de construction, or where is their road construction going on? This one just launched about 3.5 weeks ago. This one's written. The other two I showed you are written in Rails. This one's in PHP. And this was done by a developer by the name of Stéphane Guidouin. And it started our hackathon asking, like, how can I get to the office and avoid road construction? Basically, the way it works is you punch in your start point, your end point, and then it tells you what you're going to hit on your way to work or on your way to your destination. And then if you create a free account, you get email reminders when there's a new road construction project that's going to impact you, or they remove any change, basically, on your route. So this launched about 3.5 weeks ago. It was on the front page of every single paper in the province, La Presse. Again, this site crashed on the first day due to traffic. And in about 3.5 weeks, we've had over 45,000 people on the site. So there's a real demand for this data in a usable format. And this is an interesting example because it's actually merging a data set from the provincial level as well as a data set from the municipal level. So the provincial Ministère des Transports lists road construction on their site, but only for provincial roads, and the city lists road construction for their site, for the city, but only on city roads. But somebody who's driving obviously doesn't really care which type of road they're on. So an app like this where you merge, trying to coordinate two levels of government is next to near impossible. So it's better to just let the developer offer the data and then let the developer community merge it. So this is called budgetplateau.com. If you're a citizen of the plateau or if you're just a curious citizen, I highly encourage you to check this out. This is the only project of the ones I'm showing you that was actually paid for. So the Plateau paid for the development of the site. Basically what it is, it's an interactive budget. You can modify things like library hours, les heures d'ouverture pour les piscines. You can more déneigement, so like more snow removal, less snow removal. And you have to balance the budget. And you can only, at the end of this page, you can submit your budget to the Plateau Mont-Royal. You put in your name, your address, and then the Plateau is going to take into consideration the opinions of the people or the opinions of the citizens. So this example I find really interesting because it does two things. It first and foremost, it educates the population about the budgetary constraints of the Plateau, and this can be applied to any government. Because I think a lot of people don't realize how little money there is and how much things cost to do. So the first role that this app does is to educate the population. And the second is obviously the responsabilité des citoyens, to give responsibility to the citizens, say, okay, you think you can do better than the mayor's office, what are you going to cut and where are you going to put the money? So it really has those two roles, and the uptake has been great in the Plateau, and other cities are talking about using it. So it's a fun little thing. It's actually almost like a game. It's really quite engaging. Another one, this is not in Montreal, this is the federal level. It's called Citizen Factory. There's an equivalent called Open Parliament. They're fairly similar projects. Basically, it lists what each MP is doing. It pulls data from different sources and allows you to type in your postal code and see what your MP is doing. And at the city level, you have lots of data on your elected officials. The city has municipal elections. There's only about 35% participation rate at municipal elections, which is a little bit low. And we thought that maybe we could increase participation rate, or at least increase awareness of what's happening in the city, by making the information easier to find. And you have information on the city's website, so you have things in HTML for each deputy. You have about 5 city councilors per borough, just so you know. And so you have HTML info. You have PDFs of meetings, council meetings, what's going on in them. And then some deputy or councillors have Twitter feeds, some have Facebook pages, Wikipedia, different social media, and then they're obviously being featured in the press. So at our last hackathon, we thought, okay, how can we pull all this data together to make it really easy for a citizen to understand what his elected official is doing? And that's what we did. So this is not publicly launched. It'll probably launch in October, just a bunch of bugs to fix. But basically, you put in your postal code, and then we tell you what your elected officials are doing. So you see Louise Arel, who's a councillor in Montreal, and you have her colleagues for the arrondissement. Lower down, you have the colleagues for her party. What she's saying on Twitter, what is the media saying about her? So Metro Montréal, Canoë, La Presse. Did she go to the council meetings? Yes. Eventually, we're going to add, what did she say at those council meetings? There's a whole bunch of problems around the minutes without bothering you with details. It's hard to extract who's saying what because it's in PDF and it's not open data. And then her Wikipedia page, her contact, what files is she in charge of? So just making the information a lot more easy to find and hopefully encouraging people to participate in the democratic process. So a few stats. Zonecone.ca, the one I talked about, launched about 3.5 weeks ago. It says 40,000 there. I think we're up to 45,000 now. Really big hit. Betsy in Montreal had about 17,000 people use the site during the winter. Obviously, it's only useful when the rinks are open, so basically January to February, March. Resto.net, about 66,000 people have used it so far. It was launched in December of 2010, and about 750,000 page views on Resto.net, because they have a page for each restaurant. Budget Plateau, about 5,000, 6,000 people have come to the site. About 500 budgets have been submitted, so 10% engagement rate, which is fairly high. It's a long form, so it's fairly high for a site like that. As about 100,000 people live in the plateau, so it's not a bad ratio. Some other apps around the world, some are in Canada. So Emitter tracks air pollution in Canada. It takes data from Environment Canada and allows you to see which factories are polluting what in your local area. Oakland Crime Spotting, it lists different lovely events that are happening in your neighborhood, things like aggravated assault, murder, robbery, simple assault, disturbing the peace, narcotics, alcohol, prostitution. So it's a nice, I guess it's nice information to have. Hopefully there's not much of this stuff in Montreal, but right now this data is not publicly available, so we can't even build this app in Montreal. But we're hoping that'll change shortly. A couple other apps. There's Everyblock, which some of you might be familiar with. It's sort of a hyper-local aggregator in the States that allows you to see info from both the elected government side as well as just news and things like that. What Do They Know is an open portal for all the access to information requests in the UK. Right now in Canada, both at the federal, provincial, municipal level, if you want to do an access to information request, you have to send an actual piece of paper to the government, and then they're going to send you a response. So 25 people might be making the same request, and it obviously costs the government a lot of money. So this allows you to see if people have already made the same request. And it also allows you to see the delay between the time somebody makes a request and the time it's responded to. There's legal limits to that that often the government doesn't respect. So this app puts pressure on government to perform better. A couple others. ProPublica tries to link drug companies to doctors in the States and see which drug companies are influencing which doctors. PolitiFact tracks promises that politicians make and to see if they actually act on their promises that they have no problem making during an election campaign. So that's it. I mean, those are a few apps. There's obviously a lot more going on around the world. But fundamentally, just to bring it back here, and as developers you know, there's a lot of questions out there that we would like answers to, and those answers sometimes can be achieved with the use of government data and sometimes augmented with other types of data. So there's things like transit. We've already, you know, partially addressed that, but it's really just the beginning. Is there road work on my route? You can imagine adding public transport features to that app, car sharing, carpooling. There's a whole bunch of stuff that can happen. Culture, what's happening this week in my neighborhood, in my city, what concerts can I go to, what local initiatives can I support. Health, you know, if we had real-time data on emergency room wait time, so you could pick the best emergency room to go, emergency room to visit when you break your leg. Social mission, and I'll get into this in a bit. Where are Montreal's food deserts? Food desert is where you don't have access to high-quality food. So using data, they did that in Brooklyn, but it was a manual job where they literally walked around Brooklyn and different parts of New York to see, you know, how, where there was fresh food and therefore how far away citizens were living from access to fresh produce. Transparency, there's everything from freedom of information requests to, you know, contract information, contractor information, things like that. And in Canada, you know, we have a specific problem or problem, you know, problem benefit challenge, shall we say. We have one federal government, we have 10 provinces, 3 territories, and a heck of a lot of cities. And a lot of these solutions can only be addressed by taking data from all levels of government. And until everybody's doing open data, it's very hard to do that. And just to emphasize, you know, a couple things, we really want open data to be for everybody. And when we say everybody, we mean everybody, like even people with no computers, no iPhones, no cell phones, people that may not even have a home. We think open data can drive social policy, can help people understand what's happening in their cities, in their countries, in their province, and we really want technology to help everybody. You know, I say often we're developing these apps for the iPhone cast, you know, only people that have iPhones or Android phones, and we're missing out on a whole bunch of things that we need to be doing as sort of as fellow citizens. So this one's a Represent Me. It allows you to see who's representing you at all 3 levels of government, federal, municipal, provincial, see demographics on your riding. This only works in Ontario because in Quebec we don't have access to the data, or we don't have access to the data in a decent format. Housing starts. So this allows you to see what's going on in the housing market in different parts. This is out west mostly. This one's pan-Canadian. So what's happening in the housing market across Canada? How much money are people spending on their rent, and is it an affordable thing, and can the government maybe drive some policies to improve the amount of money you have to spend on rent? Income spent on rent. You also have apps around homelessness and different social issues that can be addressed with open data. So what we need more of, Montréal Ouvert, what Montréal Ouvert needs more of, and I think probably what the world needs more of, is designers, journalists who can analyze the data, statisticians, librarians, community organizers, social workers, citizens, developers, and just help us by talking to your friends, your family, your elected officials. Come up with ideas. I'm sure you guys have a million ideas of what can be done with data. Attend our hackathons. We'll probably be having another one in the month of November. Keep an eye on our Twitter feed and website for that. And then just meet up with people, build things. You know, it's really hard to say what's going to work and what's not going to work. It's just the beginning. And Montreal's going to have a lot of exciting news in the next month, let's say. So we've been working on this since August, and on Tuesday of this past week, the city, in February, they created a working group inside the city to analyze how they were going to do open data for the city of Montreal. And their mandate was to deliver a preliminary report this summer in May and June, circulated inside the city to get feedback from different departments, and then in the fall, basically now, September, October, deposit a final report at the mayor's office that could then be acted on and create a data portal. And that's happening. So we met with the city this past week, and they are going to have an open data portal this fall, either October or November. We don't have an exact date, but there's going to be an open data portal with a reasonably good license. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. About 40 data sets in the fall, followed by another 60 in 2012 is what they're planning for. And we really think that once this gets out there, as long as the developer community is there to just put in a few hours of volunteer work, and eventually, you know, I can think of a whole bunch of startups that could be built on government data, that they'll progressively keep adding more data and more data. Vancouver's up to about 210 data sets, I believe, on their website. So we have quite a bit of catch-up to do. But that's what's happening in Montreal. I'm obviously happy to answer any questions anybody might have about open data, about what's going on in Montreal. And it's moving also at the provincial level. In Quebec City, if any of you are from Quebec City, there's a new group in Quebec City called Capitale Ouverte that's basically trying to do what Montreal Ouvert did in Montreal for the city of Quebec. And then this week, we also presented open data to the Assemblée Nationale in Quebec at the provincial level with about 60 people, bureaucrats and deputies, or MNAs, and they're very excited about it. And one thing that came out of the report this summer, the working group, when they started circulating it inside the city, they found an amazing level of support across departments for open data. And a lot of these people had heard about it, knew about it a bit, but until there was citizen demand and until we had demonstrated the value of the data, you know, it's one of, people are so busy, it kind of gets buried underneath the paper. But in the last year, Montréal Ouvert, the developers, and everybody around the community has really brought this issue to the desk of the mayor. And I think in the next year, we can really hit it out of the park with some great new apps and get some of you guys on the front page of La Presse and the Gazette, like some of these guys that built these apps. So thanks for listening, and if you have any questions or comments, I'm all ears. Sure. Yeah, free parking spots? Yeah, we've heard that one a few times. Yeah, I mean, ideally, there's one cool app that was built. I forget which city it was, but they, there is one for free to find open parking? But not street parking. Okay. Yeah. It's like the things like you have like the STM in Montreal, you have, you know, the STM, Stationnement Montréal, and Bixi, which are not really part of the city. They sort of are. So we're not attacking those directly. We're hoping that they'll be inspired by what the city of Montreal does. So my shorter answer is right now I have no idea if that data is going to be made available. But one cool app that was built in another city, and when we mentioned it to the city, they were super excited because it allows them to make money, was it's an app that fluctuates the price of parking based on how many spots are available. So as parking like tightens up, the price of per hour of parking on the street goes up, and as there's more space, it goes down. Allows you to have a more fluid dynamic, and this gets into like intelligent cities and in, you know, almost like living organisms. They already are living organisms, but even more so. So that'd be an awesome app to have in Montreal, but we just don't have the data right now. And I know some people tried to hack into Stationnement Montréal's system, and it's a Linux box, and you know, but there's no data for that right now. So the hockey one scraping from PDFs, you'd have to ask James McKinney, who's the guy who wrote the code. I don't know. I think it's all in Rails, so Ruby. And I think he wrote basically the scrapers from scratch. I'm not sure if he used anything that was already out there. The PDFs are quite tricky. That was the code I showed. It's basically an image, right? They're scraping pixel by pixel. But shoot an email to James if you're curious about that kind of technology. I'm sure he'd be happy to point you in the right direction. Sorry? Oh, sorry. that's a good point. Sure. So Montréal Ouvert itself is a citizens initiative. There's no legal status. There's no business model. The four of us are purely volunteer. We haven't raised any donations. We've only put in our own money, and we've received no revenues from any of these projects. But you're right that volunteer work can only carry us so far, and I'm a big advocate of creating some institutions or some companies that can be devoted to this kind of work. And there's some projects that you won't be able to make money off of in the sense you can't build a startup off of. James, who built Patiné Montreal, and he built budgetplateau.com, and he's involved in Votre Mairie, is starting a new organization that's going to be, there's a splash page up, so I guess I can talk about it. It's called Open North, or Nord Ouvert. And that's, there's a group in the UK called My Society that was really the pioneer in sort of using open data and driving the open data initiative. It's basically modeled on that. It's a non-profit, but it's focused on using government data to build apps. And in terms of like a business model for that, it varies. Like budgetplateau.com is the first project that they did, and that was paid for by the city. And the idea is obviously that you turn it into a platform and sell it to many cities to have interactive budgets. Other people are doing it in the States and in the UK, so why not in Canada? There's other sites, Patiné Montreal. Some of these sites you have enough traffic, you can actually generate ad money off of. So that's one approach. What am I going to do? No. Basically, we're hoping that we'll close down Montreal Ouvert once we have a nice open data policy and portal in the city of Montreal. That was our goal from the start, was to have a policy and portal page. And if the city does that, then Montreal Ouvert, in theory, has lived its life. We've turned into a butterfly, and now it's time to die. And become fodder for some other project down the road. So Montreal Ouvert was never designed to be a long-term project. It's really a citizens initiative around one issue. Once that issue is accomplished, we'll disappear and obviously, be involved in other projects that are tangential. But this is really part-time. I don't do this full-time. I have for-profit ventures as well that are unrelated. But yeah, so I hope I answered your question. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. In terms of pulling like McGill specific information. Montreal Ouvert is really just targeting the city of Montreal, so we wouldn't be targeting something like McGill, which is a public university. But students are involved. I mean, a bunch of students have come to our hackathons. Startupifier, which is a kind of a group of students that are interested in working for startups, are supporting us, and they've done some work. At the end of the day, and one experience I've had from doing this for a year now is, for every, say, 100 people that show interest in doing something, volunteer, open data, it could be working in a soup kitchen as well, you maybe have 5 that act on it and that follow through on it. And it's tough. It's tough to do volunteer work. It's tough to stay focused on a project. And we really try and help developers get publicity and coach them in their development of their application. So the Zone Cone one is a good example of that, because that was really started a hackathon. It was built by this guy, Stefan. In his part-time, he said he did about 200 to 300 hours of work since February until launch time. Then we saw an article in La Presse that was talking about a meeting between the Ministère des Transports and the city and the construction companies on how to accelerate the construction and get the traffic moving again. So we saw an article in La Presse, and I called up Stefan, who had been talking to us about the app for a while, and said, can we launch it sooner than expected, because we wanted to hit, when the medias are paying attention to an issue, you can really catch a wave. And so we said, can we launch on Monday? He was planning to launch about 3 weeks later. This was on Friday that I saw the article. So I said, can you devote your weekend to this? I guarantee you, if we launch on Monday, it'll be much better than if we launch in 3 weeks. And he did. He worked all weekend, and we worked on our end getting press releases done. And we have a lot of contacts with journalists now. And then we also helped him with the branding. He was originally going to call it something called Honomo.net, which meant Roadwork No More. We, you know, we coaxed him into changing the name to something a little bit funnier, ZoneCone.ca. And that's the kind of support that we offer to initiatives, Montreal Vert. And when we did launch on Monday, it kind of went viral, and he was, you know, was caught up in every single media. And then the what's hilarious is that the Ministère des Transports was caught off guard by this because they, in their meeting, they had talked about building this website. And I think they had been working on it for a little while, and we launched it, or Stéphane launched it, and we helped him launch it. And they were like, whoa, like, who built this? What's their purpose? How are they going to make money? And we were, Stéphane was just doing it out of a hobby pet project. And the Ministère des Transports was so embarrassed, they called him, the actual minister, which at the time was Hamad, now it's changed because they did a reshuffling, but actually called him to congratulate him. And then they made the developers, or the IT guys at the Ministère des Transports, work double time to build an exact replica of zonecone.ca that is now on the 511.qc.ca website. And it's not even as good because it doesn't have the City of Montreal data, it only has the provincial data. So all that to say that what Montreal Ouvert can really offer is support to these sorts of initiatives and coaching as a project moves along. We help Stéphane find bugs and things like that. So I kind of circuitously answered your question. But that's really what Montreal Ouvert can do in terms of supporting. I've seen some projects that have started that aren't kind of carried through. Really great ideas. But alas, you know, our volunteer hours as well are somewhat limited. But we're trying. Yeah, you know, our volunteer hours are a bit limited. When we launched the hockey app, for example, the Pet City Montreal one, that's only the City of Montreal data, but the independent cities have their own hockey rinks and therefore their own data. So we approached Westmount, we approached Hampstead, and a whole bunch of like cities saying, if you guys published the data in open format, we think that would encourage Montreal to do it. And it will allow us to add the Westmount rinks. Because if you go to Pet City Montreal, we don't have the Westmount rinks in it because the data is just not online. You have to call, and I mean, usually you end up just going and seeing for yourself. But we've talked to them about it. You know, we pick our battles. They're aware of the issue. A lot of the time, it's finding the right counselor, the right people inside the departments to champion it. And we hope that when Montreal does it, not only will other cities in the area of Montreal do it, but across Quebec, because Montreal would be no city in Quebec, in the French part of Canada, basically, has done open data. France is starting to do open data. There's a few cities in France that are doing it, but it's fairly limited. It's mostly in the Anglophone world still, though it is spreading, but that might be one reason why we're a bit behind here in Quebec. In the municipal? We're really a nonpartisan group. I think, you know, the best way to judge which party is embracing it the most will be in their actions. So Budget Plateau was done by the Plateau, which is Projet Montréal group. You know, hopefully we'll have an open data portal, which shows that the governing party is also interested in it. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I can't really say right now what it'll look like whenever the next elections are. I think people will be voting on other issues besides open data. There's no lack of controversy in the city right now. Well, thank you.